The fight for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
I think we're all asking ourselves an important question right now. At what point do we treat people who are openly acting as enemies of America, when do we treat them like enemies of America? Now, the Trump War Room, which is an official Trump Twitter account, put out this video that really puts things into perspective. This isn't rhetoric. This isn't commentary. This is fact. The Democrat Party is actively engaging in domestic terrorism. They're inciting it. They refuse to condemn it. And there's going to be more of it if they're not stopped. Here is total proof. This video needs to be seen by all, of Democrats inciting domestic terror.
The United States is running concentration camps on our southern border. Never again means something.
If this organization is as fascist as you have called it, and you have said it's fascist, then why don't you adopt the stance to eliminate it?
Your colleague who was at the border with you compared the facilities to a concentration camp. Do you agree with that comparison?
Absolutely.
You will see the light, and if you don't, we will bring the fire.
A car in the parking lot was torched, and investigators say the suspect threw flares at a propane tank trying to make it explode.
They took down an American flag and a Colorado state flag, and instead, as you see in some of this video, they raised a Mexican flag.
We are learning new details about the man who threw explosive devices at an immigration detention center in Tacoma, Washington.
Will you condemn Antifa for attacking an ICE facility? Will you condemn the Antifa attack in Washington over the weekend? Will you condemn Antifa for the attack in Washington?
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. And it's not a fun thing to have to really bear down and think about, but when do you start treating people who are openly acting as enemies of America like enemies of America? What would a domestic enemy of America do? It would flood the border, invade the border. It would shut down the agencies responsible for protecting the country and our border. It would demonize America's history and its symbols. And it would attack verbally, rhetorically, its traditions, its values, and its history. America's enemies would erase America's history, lie about America's history, make you hate America's history and therefore America. America's enemies would attempt to divide this nation based on identity, based on class. And this is everything the Democrats are doing right now. But it's gotten worse because the fringe leftist, the most susceptible to propaganda and brainwashing Democrat voter, they are now getting violent. They are planning coordinated attacks. They have access to private information of individuals. And they are now openly calling for attacks on government agencies like ICE and Border Patrol. Now, that's what America's enemy would do. That's what the Democrat Party is doing. At what point do you start to treat these Democrats like enemies of America? Now, you can decide what that means. I'm just saying, when do we start to do it? It is July 17th, 2019. This is the InfoWars.com War Room brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. Owen Schroyer, your host, and big guest list today. Paloma for Trump comes on in the first hour. She was recently attacked by some communists while doing coverage at the border. And she's also enduring some new levels of social media censorship. Del Bigtree from ICanDecide.com and The High Wire will be joining us to talk about the latest vaccine news. Joe Biggs will be coming on to talk about an event where patriots are going to Portland to stand up to Antifa. This is a domestic terror group. The military should be doing this, but I guess the citizens will have to do it instead. And then Pastor David Lynn, who was arrested for reading the Bible, has now been attacked again. And so we'll get to all that as my mind is spinning, because we have open, bold, wanton, and out of control anti-American communist narcissistic ignorant phonies that are organized and actively trying to destroy America. Now, I said this in the opening segment, but I'll say it again. What would the enemies of America do if they could infiltrate and engage in the destruction of America domestically? They would go to government facilities and take down the flag and raise another nation's flag and call it victory. They would call for violence against their political opposition. Democrats do that. They would call for violence against government facilities meant to protect this nation. The Democrats are doing that. They would open the border wide open so they could invade and bring in whatever they wanted to bring in. The Democrats are for that. They would attack this nation's history, its symbolisms, its traditions, its values, labeling them as racist or bigoted or xenophobic. They would lie all day long. The Democrats do that. They would attempt to divide the citizens of this nation based on identity and class. The Democrats are doing that. And they would attempt to destroy the greatest leader that this country has seen in decades, Donald J. Trump. Now, this is cut and dry. This is not up for debate. The Democrats are acting as enemies of America. At what point do you start to treat the enemies of America like enemies of America? Now, I had to think about this before I came on air today. And it's not something you want to talk about, because you don't want to be like the Jihad Squad that encourages violence and then is responsible for violence and then basically, you know, accepts and encourages the violence by refusing to condemn it. So you don't want to come on and say things that could be twisted to say, oh, you're calling for violence. No. I'm simply asking a question. When do you start to treat the enemies of America like the enemies of America? Now, whatever that means to the audience, to the listener, to government, to whoever it may concern, that is up for discussion. But when do you start to treat the enemies of America like enemies of America? Because here's how it's going to go. There's only going to be more violence. There's only going to be more attacks on conservatives. There's only going to be more attacks on government facilities. And the rhetoric of the Democrats is only going to get worse. And they're so emboldened now with their latest claim to fame, they can't be reeled back in. And so now they basically feel like they're untouchable. And now they're doing TV interviews, basically throwing Nancy Pelosi under the bus. But it's all going to get worse unless something is done about it. And again, I don't even know what that means. I don't even want to get into what I think needs to be done. But you see the trend. You've seen what's happened. You've seen what's been said. You've seen what's been done. And it's only going to get worse. And it's only going to continue as we near the 2020 election. Now, I've got a stack of the absolute state of the left right now that I need to get to. I've got very important video clips I need to get to. I told you about my extensive guest list coming up, some other news I want to get to. But Jeffrey Epstein is still in jail. Right now, it looks like the judge is not going to allow him bail. He's obviously a flight risk. And the lawyers and the victims are pleading with the judge not to let him out. Now, this is key. A new petition, if you will, has been filed to release 2,000 more files in the Jeffrey Epstein case. And appellate court has said that those will be unsealed. So that's coming. But as Epstein sits in jail, all that have been involved with Pedophile Island are panicked. And the list is a lot more extensive than you want to think. And it's funny because you can find some famous actors and actresses saying, yeah, everybody knew about this. Everybody was involved. So what is going to happen in the Jeffrey Epstein case? But you notice, the media is doing everything they can right now to try to connect Epstein to Trump. Now, why would they be doing that? A, because they know that if you looked into Epstein, you'd find out he's really in bed with all the top Democrats. And this isn't even a partisan thing. That's just a fact. And so they know that this is inevitably going to be huge news at some point when all this stuff comes out about the guests and what Epstein was doing and the blackmail and the FBI informant role and everything. And so that is just a ticking time bomb. But the media has to try to connect Epstein to Trump before all of this comes out in their next attempt to destroy Trump with Jeffrey Epstein. It's the same thing with Russian collusion. Hillary colluded with Russia. Let's try to destroy Trump on it. The Democrats and Hollywood were all literally in bed with Epstein. Let's try to pin it on Trump. It's not going to work. It's going to blow up in their face, and it's going to bring down so much mainstream influencers, so many, it's unbelievable, and it's right coming up soon.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
It's really incredible. There's a clip of Sandy Cortez, Sandy Sweden, AOC, going viral right now. And I'm listening to it, and I just realize this girl doesn't even live in reality. And it's just incredible because she keeps saying these things about racism and white supremacy and Trump's tweets, and none of it's even true. It's just like, what? She just says what she wants to believe. She just takes anything out of context and then inserts what her narrative wants, what she wants it to be. I mean, it's just, it's incredible. I can't even believe this. Just a total abandonment of reality. But I really don't even want to get into that. And I'm going to play this clip from the Google hearing yesterday where I believe it's Richard Epstein talks about how Google basically just got away with rigging the 2018 election. Robert Epstein, thank you. So I'm going to play that. But first, today is the last day for the 1776 worldwide specials, which have up to 75% off on some sales store-wide right now. But you can get all apparel for 1776 right now. The hats and the t-shirts are $17.76. We've got top supplements on sale for $17.76 right now, like Brain Force Plus, Ultimate Bone Broth, Survival Shield X2, Knockout Sleep Aid, all on sale for $17.76. Super Silver Wound Dressing Gel. If you don't have that in your first aid kit, I don't know what you're waiting for. It's the best topical wound solution that you can find on the market. Super Silver Wound Dressing Gel, $17.76 right now at InfoWarsStore.com, part of the big specials, and your support at InfoWarsStore.com today keeps us on air tomorrow. Guys, how long is the Google hearing video? Oh. No, the one that would have given you. All right, well, we'll just have to do that later then. Because I wanted to play this clip of Robert Epstein talking about how Google, with its search engine, can basically manipulate public opinion and flow of information to meddle in elections. But since we don't have that, let me just do a bit of a news blitz. Trump has a rally tonight, by the way, in North Carolina. And, of course, they were all already lined up before the sun came up this morning. Yes, but Trump is obviously massively unpopular and behind in the polls to sleepy Joe Biden. Now, a tweet from Michael Knowles pretty much sums up the absolute state of the left. Men can kill babies just as well as women. Also, men can be women. Also, the anti-abortion movement is a war on women who men can also be. It's not complicated. Ugh. That's pretty much where they're at right now. Pretty much sums it up. Just total insanity, total confusion, no reality at all. Now, here's another moment that captures the absolute state of the left right now. The story is on pluralist.com. Ashley St. Clair confronts activist who pole dances outside ICE facility. But if you actually go to this image, I have it pulled up here on a Minnie Robinson tweet, but if you go to the image that's featured in this story, you've got Ashley St. Clair, classy, you know, has a feminine appearance, well-mannered, well-spoken, well-dressed, you know, hair looks nice, well-groomed, overall just a good-looking person. And then you've got the leftist, total vermin, hair disheveled, looks unhealthy, clothes are disheveled, nasty, not well-spoken, cursing, no feminine power, and is pole dancing. So it's just this image pretty much sums up where conservatives are versus where liberals are. Go back to that image. Nice-looking girl, classy, holding up a sign, well-behaved, well-spoken, versus ill-mannered girl, ill-tempered girl, ugly, no feminine power, not well-spoken, overall disgusting, hateful human being. And it's all summed up right there in that image. But it gets worse. I almost want to do a list. Actually, Sean Hannity did it last night. A list of everything that the left finds racist. You know what's racist now? Space travel. That's right. Washington Post. The culture that put men on the moon was intense, fun, family-friendly, and mostly white and male. And then it goes on to how, because it was white males, basically nobody else can be involved. And it's an attack on women. Oh, but let's not forget about the New York Times. The Apollo program was designed by men for men. If we do not acknowledge the gender bias of the early space program, it becomes difficult to move past it. You are the ones that can't move past your fake gender bias. This is such low-level IQ garbage. I really don't even know where to begin. It's kind of like the same thing. Like, if you go look at the average college graduate class for an engineering degree, let's say 100 people graduate with an engineering degree, 5 or 10 will be women. Just not a degree sought by women. Men and women's brains work differently. But you can't even say that. And here's the amazing thing. And I confronted a UT professor about this. I mean, I studied psychology in school. I remember the classes. I did well. It's taught in mainline psychology how men and women's brains work differently. They're chemically different. They're wired differently. It shouldn't even be up for debate. But you can't say that now because that's sexist. And now, at Colorado State, they just put out a list of non-inclusive words that need to be avoided, and America is one of them, as well as male and female, and ladies and gentlemen, and Mr. and Mrs. Well, I got something to tell you, ladies and gentlemen. The left has gone totally insane. You can't say America, that's racist and non-inclusive. You can't say male or female, that's sexist and non-inclusive. You can't engage in space travel, that's sexist and non-inclusive. What else is there? You can't have a country, you can't have a border, everything is racist and sexist. We should all just probably stab ourselves and die.
Infowars.com/show.
Trigger warning.
This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
Don't forget, it's the last day for the 1776 worldwide sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Take advantage of the deep discounts at InfoWarsStore.com. We want to keep expanding under all the attack that we're under. And it's incredible. You know, we had the social media summit last week. It'll be a week ago tomorrow. Is it starting to feel more like a pat on the head and giving a dog a bone? Because so far, nothing. Nothing. And we've got a clip of the Google hearing yesterday where basically it's a breakdown of how Google attempts to meddle in elections. Because then you say that, and it all goes back in your head, the whole Russian collusion, meddling in elections, Democrat narrative, but Google's allowed to do it. Okay. Now, Paloma for Trump has been a guest on the show before. She does a lot of great work down at the southern border covering the news as far as the immigration crisis is concerned. She's dealing with censorship. But I think it was yesterday, Paloma, you were out, I guess, doing some news coverage or some activism, and you got attacked by some of these anti-American communists out there. I saw your tweet. It looked like, I don't know what happened, but they, I don't know if they shoved you to the ground or they hit you or something, but you were actually bleeding. So tell the audience what happened when you were down, I guess, doing some news coverage and some protesters assaulted you.
I was at a protest in San Ysidro, California, that were protesting against ICE. It was a few days ago. And there were about 1,500 people out there protesting. There were four of us counter-protesting, and they got really violent with us. They started getting verbally violent and everything else, as you guys already, you know how they get. And unfortunately, the police were backing them up. Unfortunately, the police were on their side. So they were saying that we shouldn't have been there, even though I was there for an hour. Nobody knew who I was, probably over an hour. Nobody knew who I was. And because I was not wearing any gear, I wasn't wearing my Trump hat like I always do. I was basically just, you know, incognito, interviewing people, hearing their nonsense and trying to pass on their nonsense to other people, because, you know, half the time people don't have answers. You ask them stuff, they don't know what to answer. You ask them, well, why, you know, why, what happens to these kids if we let them all free? Where do they go? Should we reunite them with their peers? Yes. Okay, so should we reunite all criminals in jail in America with their parents? And they say, well, no, that's different. Well, how is it different? So anyway, I was out there asking, interviewing, you know, just kind of getting their stupid point of view, because that's basically what it is. And a woman came up to me who was also protesting on our side. He started being very abusive with her. She's older, you know, in her 50s, 60s. And so that's when she kind of blew my cover. They got very violent with us. I was walking towards the march they were having. I pulled out my sign, my Paloma for Trump sign. And when they saw that, they tried to take my sign. A man came up to me, like pushed me, shoved me. I fell on my knee, busted my knee. The cops did nothing.
So the cops saw this whole thing, even after the guy shoved you, and still didn't do anything?
Still didn't do anything. All they said was, well, Paloma, you know what you're in for. We can't let you, because I wanted to keep walking. I was so eager to keep walking with them. I was like, no, I don't care if I'm hurt. I just want to keep walking, because, you know, the bottom line is that they are suppressing our voices, and now they're using violence. I mean, this isn't just like Facebook. This is more than that. They just literally assaulted me physically, and now you give them the benefit of shutting me up. And so I wanted to keep walking, and the cops said, no. They basically held me back. They held me back so I could not keep walking with these people.
Well, and there's this, I've noticed that there's a trend happening. I don't even know what, I guess, law enforcement in the judicial system. And I'm hoping that I'm not about to be on the wrong side of this. I'll find out soon, but I can't go into detail now. But there's this narrative that, oh, like you said, the cops, it's like, oh, well, you're a Trump supporter. You deserve it. You knew what you were going into. You knew that this could happen. It's your fault. No. We get a right to free speech. It doesn't matter. So what? So if I go out and I'm in at a ball game, and let's say I'm in Chicago and I have my St. Louis Cardinal hat on at a Chicago Cubs game. Oh, and I get punched in the face, and the cops say, "Oh, well, you were wearing a Cardinals cap, so you kind of knew." Of course not. Of course not. And I'm afraid that that notion or that quote-unquote policy is going to become cemented, and law enforcement is never going to punish these people. And it's going to even be used in if we do file charges, judges will just say, oh, no, you deserve it. you went into a crowd and provoked a crowd. What, because I'm holding a sign? No. And so I'm afraid that this is a precedent that we're, I don't want it to be set, but it looks like maybe it could be set. And then the other thing too is, again, I wish I could go into specifics right now, but I can't, but I'll use your case as an example. So they shove you down, you're bleeding from the knee, and they'll say, oh, well, you know, you kept marching, you're fine. Yeah, because we're fighters out here. We're in a damn war out here. We know what the hell's going on. We're not going to be stopped. But again, that doesn't make it right. And I just think it's incredible that people have to endure this violence right in front of police. And I don't even want to attack the police or blame the police, but at a certain point in time, they have to understand they need to step in and do their job or the violence is just going to get worse.
They were afraid to do their job, Owen. They were really afraid of these thugs. Like, some of them seemed to be on their side, and some of them just seemed afraid of them. I was like, but officer, I was like, sir, I was just attacked. What, like, are you going to do anything? Like, you just saw it happen, and you're not doing anything. Not only that, but now you're holding me back. Like, I'm the one that committed a crime. He kept saying, oh, but Paloma, we know you. You know what you're in here for. And you know that people know you and you shouldn't be here. And I'm like, no, we have freedom of speech. Like, he's like, you're tying up our resources. And there was four of us and there was 1,500 of them. And he told me that I was tying up their resources.
And that's another thing. You're not the one that's violent. You're not the one that's threatening violence. But that, see, I don't buy that excuse either. It's the same thing because, like, I feel bad. I mean, I like the Austin police. And I go out to these events, like on Saturday. And basically, you have to have, you know, 50 or more officers out there because you've got these radical leftists that could go violent in any second. And I know that, you know, me walking around in these groups basically means the cops have to stick around and do work and work harder and monitor the situation. And I feel bad because I'm like, hey, look, I'm sorry that these cops have to babysit me, but it's not my fault. Just like it's not your fault. Again, that's not fair to say, oh, you're tying up our resources. No, you're not there because Paloma is a threat. You're there because people are a threat to her.
They were so violent, Owen. They were so, it was like a third world. I don't think I've ever been that frustrated as I was that day.
Would you like to make a comment about the leftist that attacked a woman of color?
Wow. When was this?
You.
Oh, me. You mean me?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's time for people to, we have to fight back against people. Sam, you remember doing it the other day. It's time to get in their face. They sit here and they say, women of color, women of color, women of color. Oh, women of color are coloring and are crying in Congress, so I have to open the border. No, they just attacked a woman of color, Paloma, for Trump, and they don't even care. It's all fake. It's all phony. We'll be right back.
Infowars.com/show.
So, before the last break, I reported the news that liberal Trump protesters attacked a woman of color. And my guest, Paloma for Trump, was like, who? It was her. And I realized something, and I'm going to get Sam Montoya on the mic to talk about this too. And we were going to talk about your Facebook censorship. Maybe we'll get to that, Paloma. But this is the thing. Like, it just shows you your psychology or how you don't identify yourself as a color or a race or anything. You don't try to use identity as an empowerment. You don't even think about yourself that way. You know, you think about what's my character, what's my work ethic, what's my, you know, trustworthiness, what are the fruits of my labor and this stuff. The average leftist out there just thinks, I'm a woman of color, so you have to listen to me. And so I was like, hey, a woman of color. And facetiously, though, talking about Paloma for Trump, and it didn't even register in her head. I was talking about her. And I figure it's time for conservatives to wield this power of identity politics, this sword of identity politics that the left has created into a master sword and use it against them. And I want to get Sam on here real quick before we go back to Paloma to tell just a quick story about this. We were at the protest on Saturday, Sam. You were filming, and these white people kept talking about white supremacy and calling me racist and stuff. And you got sick of it. And one of them said something about, you know, I think like she said, like I stole the land or something like that. And so you got up in her face and you said, hey, I'm a brown person. What about me? Am I a racist? So just talk about like that wielding the master sword of identity that the left has created against them.
No, you're exactly right. I was thinking about that because there was a study that said that liberals tend to talk down to minorities. And as a conservative or just being raised in Texas around like a lot of people of different ethnicities, I never really felt held back by my race, or I never really felt like there was an issue with racism or as it's portrayed today. But that, now you have these protesters out there that are trying to twist the script a little bit and say, you know, if you're conservative or if you support, you know, law and order, then you are a race traitor, or you are, you know, somebody who is trying to hold down minorities.
Or now, somehow a liberal just speaks for all, you know, brown or black people. Like somehow a liberal just has that power to speak for you. And you're like, no, you don't speak for me.
Right, exactly. And now this lady who was out there that we're talking about that I actually kind of got in her face, she was whispering in everybody's ear. You see her in the background, you know, telling them not to talk to us. And when you were sort of getting your point across and you had drawn a crowd, and it was actually a crowd of Hispanic visitors, like a family, it looked like, you know, there was even a couple people I thought looked like my cousin, to be honest with you. But this crowd had gathered to listen to the way you were interacting with the Antifa members. Now, she saw that. And so she began to speak to them about, like you said, how you are promoting the patriarchy, how you're promoting white colonialism and a for-profit scheme to keep minorities in cages and things like that. She started saying those things. And when the moment that I got in her face and turned it on her and said, hey, you can't speak for me, I'm a brown person, she stopped talking
about
it.
She shut down. Basically she was paralyzed because that's the strength of their argument is, oh, I'm here standing up for brown people. I'm so self-righteous. And then a brown person's like, no, you don't speak for me. And then it's just like, ooh, and the whole thing folds. So Paloma, I mean, again, like you don't even look at yourself like, oh, I'm a woman of color, so just listen to me. So you didn't even catch on when I was doing that facetious reference. But I mean, that's the story. That's the narrative. I would start public. I would put that picture back out or something out and say, you know, leftists attack woman of color at Trump protest or something like that, because we need to use this against them. They act like they care about women or women of color. So let's see if they care about you being attacked.
You're right. I don't think of myself that way. That's why you really threw me off. And it's the same way when I go out there and I defend what's right. I don't think of, oh, I'm a Mexican, and because President Trump attacked Mexicans, I'm going to, you know, no, I think of what's right. I think of justice. I think of the truth, and that's how I go out there and do everything that I do. Yeah, it did throw me off, but you're right. I am Mexican. I am a woman of color, and they don't care. It's not about that. It's about their agenda. They don't care who they have to walk all over. They don't have to go who they have to step on, even if it's woman of color. So, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. It's
Think about how authoritarian it is, where they'll say, oh, okay, we're standing up for women of color, or, you know, we're the squad trying to represent minorities or whatever. And then you say, oh, well, hey, you know, I'm a Mexican American and I disagree with you. Then what do they say? Oh, well, you're a race traitor, or you're an Uncle Tom, or you're a this or that. I mean, that's so authoritarian. That's so cult-like. It's just like, how can they not see that?
Yeah, no. And they use that a lot. The day they attacked me, that was their main argument. You're a sellout. You're a vendetta. You hate your own people. They call me a Nazi 100 times. You know,
yeah, vendetta. So that's what they were saying out there on Saturday too. Remember that, Sam? They kept saying that one too. I mean, it's just insane. But before we get, before we let you go here, we got 4 minutes left. What is happening to you on Facebook right now? There's some censorship there, right?
My account got completely shut down. And a very successful account with 76,000 followers got shut down from one day to the next because all my my managing accounts are in Mexico because I live in Mexico. So Facebook is calling me a bad actor interfering with the U.S. elections from a foreign country. So Mark Zuckerberg.
Wait a second. You can't even comment on American politics on Facebook if you're not an American? Is that what they're saying?
Exactly. So I have a whole video where he explained that people like me, our accounts are being shut down, especially high-reach accounts, influential accounts, because we are foreign, we are bad actors interfering in the U.S. elections from a foreign country, kind of treating me like a Russian in a way, but from Mexico. So without even asking me if I was a U.S. citizen, because he never verified my account with my, I could have provided my U.S. passport without a problem.
This is like next level. And of course, we know it's all political. If you could be Mexican and saying, you know, Trump is the worst person ever. Don't vote for him. And they would never take you down off of that. This is
exactly.
Wow. This is just stunning stuff. Really, Paloma, you got two stunning stories here. Banned from Facebook because you live in Mexico and comment on American politics and you get assaulted by leftist protesters in front of the police. You bleed. And they do nothing about it. I mean, what would you just, in general, what would be your commentary on where we're at right now culturally and politically in America?
We're in a really bad place, and I just hope that we keep fighting and we keep doing what we're doing, because if this continues, it'll be the end of America as we know it. I'm like literally terrified for the future of America with everything I've seen firsthand. Facebook, you know, it's just social media in general. My Twitter account is, my Twitter is also right now in some review for, you know, it's being shadow banned. And for no reason, because I don't even really use it all that much.
Yeah, but you'll have to now because they got rid of your Facebook. So, I mean,
I have a smaller Facebook that I started again, but nothing compared to the other one. And also, as far as what happened by the ICE facility, what happened to me when they hurt me? It's once our authorities are afraid of the people, you know, the country is basically done unless we take that and majorly change it. Totally turn that around right now. I mean, ICE officers, Border Patrol officers were afraid of coming out of the facility for the 5 hours that people had the march. In fear that they would hurt them. But think of that.
And it's because the Democrats are calling for attacks against the ICE officers in these facilities, saying they're concentration camps, and then they get firebombed. They throw, stuff at the facilities. They threaten the agents. They threaten and have doxed agents. They do picket lines in front of buildings and on roads. It's just reaching a next level. All right, Paloma. Well, thanks for coming on today, and be careful out there. I know you have no fear, but be careful out there, and we'll continue to follow your great work.
Thank you
so much.
All
right, ladies and gentlemen, Paloma for Trump. I mean, it's one thing when I'm getting attacked and lied about and all this stuff, but, man, I got to say, like, it just makes me so mad to see how phony these people are, really. Because, again, if you want to do the identity politics, we can play identity politics. They'll lose at that, but they aren't. That's another phony thing. It's not even about identity. It's all phony. It's all politics.
War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Troyer at Infowars.com/show.
What do I want to do here? Let's do this. Let's do the Trump video because it's on my mind right now. Did we ever figure out if that video I sent you is clip 19? All right, let's roll the one I sent you. So here's the deal, folks. The Democrats are really desperate right now to try to get Epstein connected to Trump in the media. The mainstream media is playing this because Epstein is about to take a major fall, and he's top Democrat donor, friends with all the top Democrats, had a bunch of Hollywood people and Democrats and politicians and business people go out to his pedophile island. And, you know, basically the story goes, he's an FBI informant and he's got blackmail on all these people. And so who knows what all is going to come out from this Epstein deal. He's still in jail. More is coming out every day, it seems. And so while this flood of information on Epstein is finally hitting the mainstream, while be it decades late, they're trying to connect him to Trump and they're using the media to do it. But they play this video. Just go ahead and roll the B-roll. They're using these videos of Trump and they're acting like this is going to destroy Trump. Now, I'm watching these videos and it's just hilarious. This is only going to make people like Trump more. That's all it is. And they can say, because the whole thing is, oh, Trump is getting handsy with women. Look at how Trump treats women. Oh, here's Trump with Epstein. The women are all over him. Like, it's like unbelievable. They're acting like these women don't want to be around Trump. They're all, he's literally surrounded by women. Like, they all want to be around him. And they're like, look at this Trump that hates women and women hate him. And look at him just getting so handsy. They love it. And I'm telling you, this video is going to only make Trump more popular. You ever heard of Dan Bilzerian? Like, it's just so funny how out of touch with reality these people are. And they have no idea why they're losing. So they're going to continue to roll all these videos of Trump dancing with women and being with Epstein. It's only going to make Trump more popular. It's only going to make women like Trump more. So I just think it's hilarious. But this is clearly a desperate attempt to make Trump and Epstein connected, even though it's the Clintons, it's Schumer, it's the Democrats. Hell, it's Mueller. And who knows what kind of dirt Epstein has on people. Maybe someday we'll find out. I mean, I don't think Epstein's the kind of guy that takes the fall here. I think he sings like a bird. But they're rolling all this ancient footage of Trump with women. And it's funny because it's the same thing that he says in his tape. He's like, when you're rich and famous, women run up to you and let you grab them by the pee. And again, have you ever heard of Dan Bilzerian? Like, it's even taught, again, this is taught in psychology. In fact, they teach when they talk about, if you get into like human sexuality courses, they talk about what is attractive to men and women. The top thing that they teach in psychology that's attractive to women is resources. What does that mean? Money. Power. It's not a secret. Like, what? Since when do people just not want to live in reality? Oh, look at Dan Bilzerian here. Oh, he's getting so handsy with those women. Yeah, because they love him. Because he's rich and famous and masculine. It's like these people just, I just can't believe it. So you watch. This whole Trump Epstein thing is just going to blow up the Epstein story more and make Trump more popular. It's the Teflon Don. Welcome back to the InfoWars.com War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. Into the second hour, Dell Bigtree about to join me. ICanDecide.org, his show, The High Wire, and he's always informed on the latest news when it comes to vaccinations, which is becoming a more of a hot topic. And I wanted to bring something up. I'm not sure I'll be able to find it. But the debate on vaccines is starting to get into the mainstream, and it's one of those kind of taboo, if you will, conspiracy theory subjects that people aren't so afraid to talk about. And I'm bringing this up, and as I'm looking for the tweet, there's a NFL football player, Jalen Richard, and he's basically on Twitter going anti-vaccine, anti-vaccines, truth about vaccines, vaccine choice, all of this stuff. Jalen Richard, if you guys want to find his Twitter and scroll through it, there's all kinds of tweets on him. And there's some other athletes getting on board. There's some actors, actresses, Hollywood people getting on board. And so, Dell, I kind of see this going mainstream now. And the reason why this football player talking about this is so important to me, because I came from the sports culture world, and I know that most people that are just into the sports culture world aren't really too politicized, may not know anything about vaccines or anything like that, but it's so much harder for mainstream media and the establishment to go with a narrative when you have celebrities and athletes and Hollywood people not going with it. That's why it's so key for them to always have Hollywood in the mainstream news, because that's how they get their propaganda through. That's how the brainwashing works. If you have athletes and actors and people saying, hey, no, I'm not going to vaccinate my kids, you know, vaccines cause injuries, their narrative is going to die. And so I saw this, and I kind of got a positive feeling in my heart that, wow, if we have athletes and Hollywood people that are willing to stand up for vaccine choice, maybe we won't have to deal with forced inoculations in this country forever.
Well, I mean, I think it is a positive thing. I think that we should be looking at this. And people will say, well, you shouldn't be going to your athletes or your celebrities to get your medical advice. But that's not what this represents. What happens when someone like Jalen steps up and starts talking about human diploid cells and the fact that there's aborted fetal DNA being injected into the bodies of your children? And we now know that there's studies all over the world showing that that aborted fetal DNA is mutating your own DNA. Your children's stem cells can take up that DNA and start the mutation process inside of the body. But Jalen knows that. So he's obviously smart for a football player. But what this says is that all the millions and millions of people in this country that agree with him. And they think, wow, I don't have a microphone, I don't have a camera, I'm not a celebrity, but I agree with Jalen on this. And what it does is it emboldens all those people that have been quiet in their own homes. That's what I think the power of this. It's yes. Not that celebrities necessarily, they don't necessarily lead, but they make us recognize, oh my God, I'm not alone, and really cool, brilliant, healthy people happen to agree with my perspective. Maybe I should start looking into this more, or maybe I should start talking about it more. And that's what's happening. We are talking about this all over the country. And, you know, I've been on many times now. The laws are getting really scary. New York just took away all of the exemptions. Now you only have a medical exemption. They just decided you have no religious belief, no religious exemption allowed. We don't care what your religion is. You must take part in the vaccine program. I think the argument should be made that the real religion is the vaccine program itself. I don't believe our freedom of religion is that I have to prove that my religion says I can't vaccinate. What I'm saying is you have a product that's never been tested for safety. You all have an assumption that it's making us healthier, even though all of the stats show otherwise. More babies dying on the first day of life in America than every other industrialized nation combined. More babies dying in the first year of life. You're 70% more likely to die before reaching 18 than if you lived in the 20 other richest nations in the world. And as I've pointed out, we've gone from 12.8% chronic illness, meaning neurological disorders or autoimmune disease, back in the 1980s when we only got 11 vaccines. Now that we're getting 72, 54% children have an illness. So that shows that the vaccines very well are making us more and more sick. And what you have is a religion that has never proved itself and it has through the scientific process. So I think we should be allowed a religious exemption simply because the government is not allowed to force a religious principle of injecting aborted fetal DNA and bacteria and viruses and polysorbate 80 and mercury and aluminum. Trust me, that's more dangerous and it's dumber than it sounds.
Well, and that's the thing too, is we just want vaccine choice. And so you just use factual information, providing it to people to say, hey, look, here's why we want choice. We don't want the state to be God and just tell us what we have to put in our bodies. That's not how this works. But see, this isn't me. I think Jalen Richard is a hero. And this isn't me following the bouncy ball, being distracted by sports, because I kind of have that just inclination growing up a sports fan, being in sports media. The reason why I'm so... The reason why I feel Richard is a hero, and the reason why I got so excited when I saw this, because I know for a fact, coming from the sports media, working and knowing some professional athletes and people that work in sports media, and you alluded to this, there is a chilling effect on their free speech on topics like vaccines. And so I know that there is, the same thing applies to the whole pro-America, anti-America thing, or pro-Trump, anti-Trump thing. Athletes, sports broadcasters and stuff, they're afraid to come out and say they're a conservative or they like Trump or they want vaccine choice because they're afraid they'll be rejected by the community. They're afraid they'll be attacked by the media and they don't want to deal with that taboo subject. So when I see Richard come out with no fear and say, hey, look, they're putting aborted fetal cells in the vaccines. It's not that healthy. We should have choice. And raising all this issue, I'm like, that's a leader that could then pave the way for other athletes to come out and speak. And that's what I hope happens with this. Because I know, and you can use the same comparison with Trump, I know there's Trump supporters in sports and in sports media that are never would never come out and say it. And it's too bad because these are influential people that people look up to. And again, just because this is how the celebrity thing works in the West, if your favorite athlete says something, then you're inclined to believe it, specifically if you're young and impressionable. So when I see an athlete doing this with no fear, I hope that means other athletes will come forward and start speaking their minds without fear as well, because it really needs to happen to just counter this anti-American, anti-Trump, or in this case, pro-vaccine, get your vaccine narrative, which, by the way, they sell the flu vaccines at NFL games. They've got, I remember going to, whenever I would work an NFL game, they had ads almost every break inside the arenas, get your flu shot, rolling ads, all of it, nonstop. So we lost Del Bigtree. We're going to get him back in the break. We'll get back connected with him in the break and get his take on this. But I want him to get into some of the more news-worthy stuff that he was talking about, like what's happening in New York. But yeah, there's the headline from Sporting News. Raiders running back Jalen Richard proudly declares, none of my kids will be vaccinated. So that's a hero. I'm telling you, folks, the intimidation, it's just like in Hollywood. It's not as bad in sports because it's sports and it's not as politicized. But trust me, athletes and sportscasters are afraid to say their opinion because they're afraid of it's too taboo and they don't want to be attacked. So we'll continue with Del Bigtree on the other side. Folks, take advantage. 1776 worldwide sale at InfoWarsStore.com. 1776 worldwide sale. That means apparel, hats, t-shirts are $17.76. Some of the top selling supplements are on sale for 1776, like BrainForce Plus, Ultra 12, Knockout Sleep Aid, Nascent Iodine, Survival Shield X2. It's all at InfoWarsStore.com. Please support InfoWars, folks. We're under attack. We're not even allowed on social media, and they're trying to break our backs. But with your support at InfoWarsStore.com, we will never give in, and we will never give up.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
Del Bigtree is back with us. ICanDecide.org is his website, The High Wire, his show. And Del, you were getting into some newsworthy topics, vaccine news. how now in New York, they're removing the religious exemption. Of course, this is just a test case. They'll take it nationwide if they can. What is some other developing vaccine news right now? And what has the response been to that news, which, as far as I can tell, has pretty much gone uncovered in mainstream news coverage?
Well, I mean, I live in California right now, and in California, they're looking to basically take the medical exemption. So in California, they're a step further. They don't have a religious exemption or a philosophical exemption. Now they have a problem with a medical exemption. They want to take the power of the doctor away and make a bureaucrat sign off on if you have an immune suppressed child and they can't vaccinate. They want a bureaucrat that's never met your child to make that decision, not your own doctor. That's, we've been protesting that, multiple protests and hearings up here in California. Both of these are the litmus test for the country, though. You're right. This is a federal, they're working on a federal mandate because, as we've talked about before, Owen, the most powerful lobby in Washington is the pharmaceutical industry. It's outspending oil and gas 2-1. Here's the news flash, though. These are two very liberal states, and you know that I have a legal team. We're mounting civil action. We are bringing legal cases in New York against the law in New York. We're going to be defending parents that are going to seek to have the right to avoid vaccines, to protect their own body integrity. And guess what? They're all liberals. They're liberal Democrats that now find themselves shocked that their own party would take away their rights, that their own party would inject their children with pharmaceutical products and not allow them any control over it. Shocked that, you know, even though they drink smoothies and eat organic food and have a water purifier in their house, that their own party has abandoned and taken away their ability to control their own health. And so that's creating a mass exodus. And I think you're down in Texas. I'm heading that way. And guess what? So is a ton of New Yorkers and a ton of Californians. If you're in Texas, I'd start buying up land because it's going to get more and more valuable as liberal Democrats. I used to be one of them myself, say, oh my God, this is a fascist dictatorship. They're taking over our lives. We've got no control. And we start flooding into the states like Utah, Arizona, Texas, that still believe in liberty. So I actually think this is maybe one of the greatest mistakes the Democratic Party may be making right now. This is a pillar of this party. They've asked every single one of the candidates, do you support removing exemptions? Almost all of them have said yes. And so I've said it, Owen, this is the liberty issue of our time. This is the tip of the spear. It's not banking. It's not land rights. It's not gun rights. We are on the verge of losing control of our body autonomy. Our sovereignty is our body. The pharmaceutical industry is talking the ears of all of your politicians. So as you vote in Texas, as you vote in Arizona and Utah, in Idaho, in these states that are still very strong and very, you know, liberty conscious, you better start asking the question of the people you're voting for. Do you believe I have a right to control what's injected into my body? Or do you think that the state owns my body? Am I simply a product? Am I something that's owned by the government? Am I property? Or am I a single sovereign human being? That is the question we all need to start asking. Because if you don't vote for the right person, and too many of this people with this ideology get in, you will be the next New York. You will be the next California. And it's not about children. There's an adult mandate coming for everybody. Pharma is going to turn into a $1 trillion industry the moment they make that switch and say, now comes the forced adult vaccine program. 340 million Americans lined up for 10 to 20 vaccines and growing every year. Trillion.
Well, and that's why my crew was pulling up. That's why my crew was pulling up the stories about the disease outbreaks at the detention facilities, because their whole claim here, and again, it just shows how just on at face value these people have double standards. It's total hypocrisy, right? Because the whole argument is, oh, well, we want to stop disease outbreak. The disease outbreak is coming from the open border. This is not even debatable. And so they're using now, I mean, you can say consciously whatever, but these illegal immigrants carrying disease into the country are now being used. Again, maybe it's planned that way. Maybe it's not. I'm just saying That's now being used to bring us forced vaccinations. That's what's happening. And they deny it. And they say, oh, no. Disease isn't coming here. But then they go to the border. And when it's time to virtue signal, they say, oh, these poor people, they have typhus and they have lupus and they have tuberculosis and they have all these diseases. And then it spreads. And then they say, oh, you have to get a vaccine. You spread disease because you're unvaccinated. No, right. The disease spread because we have unvaccinated sick people that come here. You allow them out on the streets. Then the disease spreads and you tell me I have to get a vaccine. I mean, it's 360 degrees of totalitarian manipulation and control.
Yeah, I mean, think about that Ebola. Like the last time they flew people with Ebola from Africa into America. Why?
By the way, the World Health Organization, the World Health Organization today declared Ebola a worldwide crisis.
Right. It is if you package them up, put them on airplanes and bring them to your country, to your own hospitals, where they then hop onto your subways and your buses. But it's not a problem in a country like we have with the greatest water system in the world, the best toilets the world has ever seen, which is really what eradicates disease. And then we all know that it's not unvaccinated kids eating farm fresh vegetables out of their own gardens and drinking crystal clear water. You don't spontaneously erupt into disease. It has to come from somewhere. Where is it coming from? Second and third world nations, where we should be putting in toilets and taking care of their health, not bringing them here to bring, you know, to put us all at risk. I mean, these are the things that we've got to look at sensibly. Let's be sensible about this. But it's something we have to wake up on, Owen, because this issue and all the hype, I'm not worried about. I'll be honest with you, Owen. I don't care if 200 people have the mumps. In fact, I want my kid to get the mumps, Owen. I want my
kid.
Yeah.
They make a big deal of the mumps when it's really a minor thing.
Right now, I want.
But I just want to say this, Del, because we got a minute left. You know, there's a story today, a big story. El Chapo is going to jail for life. Big drug dealer, obviously. But you know, I'm kind of like on the fence with this story because, okay, should El Chapo be in jail for life? Okay, but Big Pharma drugs more people than El Chapo could ever dream of. Big Pharma is bringing in more money than El Chapo could even imagine, but El Chapo's bad because he sells the drugs Big Pharma doesn't want you to have access to. Again, I'm not saying El Chapo's good or drugs are good. I'm just saying, who decides who drug dealers really are?
Look, we're talking about this on my show this week. Johnson & Johnson owned all the poppy fields that made the OxyContin and the opioids that have created the epidemic. They literally are El Chapo. I mean, we are talking about Johnson & Johnson, the baby powder company. We found out a month ago they knew there was asbestos in baby powder, so they're giving your babies cancer. And then if they live through that, they're going to get them addicted to opioids because they own all the poppy fields. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. We got to wake up. We got to wake up to the truth that's happening out
here. It's always great to have Del Bigtree on. Follow Del on Twitter, at Del Bigtree, ICanDecide.org, and his show that he was telling you about, The High Wire. Del, thank you for coming on today.
Thank you, Owen.
Great stuff always from Del Bigtree. All right, Joe Biggs is with me on the other side of this short break.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Warning. This broadcast is not for the weak-minded.
It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Joe Biggs is with us now on The War Room. And we're going to be talking about an event coming up in Portland in August that Joe is rallying behind right now to stand up to Antifa. Now, it's sad that American citizens feel like they have to do this because law enforcement isn't doing their job, but that's what it's come to. Now, of course, this is in response to the Antifa violence in Portland a few weeks ago and the ongoing violence of Antifa as more and more are actually getting arrested. In fact, they just arrested another girl. Her name was, I think, Sarah Pugh or something like that. She had a record of arson, peeing on police officers, engaging in hate crimes. Now she just got charged with a hate crime. Another wonderful member of Antifa. So, Joe, we've got domestic terrorists, Antifa groups roaming the streets. Law enforcement won't do their job. you've decided to start a rally that's happening in Portland in response to this. Tell the audience the details.
August 17th in Portland, we will be rallying to stand up against domestic terrorism. I mean, plain and simple, that's it. You know, we want to call on each and every red-blooded American out there to get off your butt. You know, put off that weekend to, you know, hang out with your buddies and go drinking and actually go do something worth something. Because these groups right now, they are masking up, they are arming themselves, and they were literally committing acts of violence. They are assaulting innocent Americans. They're assaulting journalists just trying to do their job. You should be pissed off because I'm extremely pissed off. And I know I've got large groups right now. I've got the Oath Keepers. I've got 3%ers. I've got American Guard. I've got the Proud Boys who I'm with. We've got groups from all over the country that are rallying together. We've got Patriot Prayer. We've got all these groups that are going to come out there. We're going to stand toe to toe. We're going to look these guys in the eye and put the fear of God in their hearts. I want them to wake up in the middle of the night having nightmares that Rufio Pan Man is going to come into their homes and start knocking them out and putting them to sleep. You know, this is something that we just have to do now because, like you said, the police aren't doing their job. The mayor of Portland is not doing his job. And it's up to us now, we the people, to stand up because this is our country. You know, if it's imperative, too, though, that Donald Trump going ahead and list these guys as domestic terrorist organization, because obviously that's what it is. Look up the term. Go Google it. Go get your actual hard copy of a dictionary and look up the term of terrorism. You have Antifa right there. So we need to label them that because if we don't, when the Democrats take control, when they get regain the presidency one day, they're going to exalt these people. They're going to lift them up and give them a lot of power and use them in the streets because we already have big tech going after us and calling us the Nazis and censoring us and telling us when we can and can't speak. And then you're going to have this brutal ground force that's actually out there controlling traffic and stopping people. No, you're a Nazi. You can't be here. You know, so we need to go ahead and get that upper hand. We need to label these guys a domestic terrorist organization because if we don't, it's going to be a time that they're going to start labeling us as that. And we're the ones that simply care about our country. We're the ones that want to have a protected border. We're the ones that want to take care of America first. We have veterans that are homeless. We have people right now that are kids right now that need help. You know, we're worried about these kids that are in these concentration camps on the border with really nice bunk beds and they get to have sports and they get to learn and do things like that. Like it looks horrible. I mean, it looks better than any summer camp that I went to.
Yeah. Hey, I was thinking, I mean, I know you've gone down to the border and done covers down there too. I was thinking about maybe just for a day, cause I've been wanting to kind of kick a soccer ball around. I haven't played for a while. I was thinking about maybe just crossing over the border illegally and going to one of these camps and kick the ball around with these kids.
Yeah. I mean, they're not bad. We've gone to them before, like you said, and we've seen them. The ones we've seen, they're not bad. They look like really cool summer camps. You have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Rashid Tlaib or whatever hell her name is and, you know, Brother Lover. They go out there and they stage these events and they look for these prime little areas where they can set up something.
Exactly. That's it. They're the ones encouraging the political violence. Antifa's the one executing it. And you look at the firebombing of the ICE facility, you look at all the attacks on Republican headquarters across the nation, you look at all the attacks on conservatives, and it's pretty much going unchecked. And this was kind of my philosophical question, if you will, here, Joe, that I'm kind of weighing in on myself internally. I'm asking the audience, I'll ask you, at what point do we start treating the enemies of America like enemies of America? These are enemies of America. They don't even deny it. They're engaging in political violence. They're engaging in terrorism. They're trying to destroy this country. It's not even a debate. When do we start treating them like enemies of America?
Well, right now it's an easy win for them because most people on the right are spineless. Let's just be honest. You know, I'm not going to name these groups, these popular teen movements where they have meetings all the time and everyone dresses up in their fancy clothes. This is what I like to call country club Republicans. When they throw in events and there's threats of Antifa violence, they all back out. They're cowards. They run. It's time for Republicans to grow a spine. It's time for them to stand up. You have to look these people in the eyes because guess what? They are cowards, but they show up in large groups and they know most of these people aren't going to show up. And the ones that do show up are going to be highly outnumbered because the speakers and all the other people, they back out. They end up being cowards. They don't have a set. You know, they need to start taking 200 milligrams of grow a set on a daily basis and man up. And come out there and be patriotic. If you're going to have these events, you're going to have these events. You don't back down from threats of political violence. Guess what? They're already threatening violence all the time. We need to show up. We need to show up in force. We need to show up with many more people, and we need to put the fear of God in their hearts. And that's how we do it, man. It's time for people to stop being cowards. It's time for people to stop sitting on their butt and watching Hannity all day and thinking just because you're on social media tweeting woke comments all day that you're doing something for the future of America. You're not. You're sitting back and you're idly watching our country being stripped away by communists and people that hate this country, that want to burn the flag, that want to spit on the graves of soldiers that have fought and died for this country. It's time to make a stand. The time is now.
Is that your dog? What is his name? Is that Barkley?
Yes. Yes, it is. And I want to, if you guys cut in a minute, I'm going to run over there.
It's all right. It's all right. Barkley's fired up, too. Barkley's sick of the Antifa violence, too. We got 2 minutes for this break, and then you can go take care of Barkley.
Someone knocked on the door. So I don't know.
Man, but, you know, here's the thing, too. I wonder what is going to stop these Antifa people from going out on the streets and doing this violence because, I mean, arrests are happening. I mean, There have been a lot of arrests happening lately, but I feel like, and again, I'm not encouraging violence, but I feel like the police need to be knocking some heads before these arrests.
But we can still do this without violence. Having a show of force is just a posture. It doesn't mean that we're actually going out there and calling or inciting violence. Look, but we've already gone past inciting violence. The left has already incited violence. They openly talk about it on social media, and they are openly committing it. So even if we were to say, hey, I want to go out there and I'm pissed off, I'm not provoking anything. It's already been started. This war is already kicked off in a sense.
No, that's exactly it. If you're in public, let's say Joe Biggs and me are out just drinking at a bar and someone comes up to us and says, hey, you're racist. And you're like, what? And then they get in their face and like, yeah, you're a Nazi. You're a KKK racist. I mean, them's fighting words, bro. Like, you know, you...
Yeah, I mean, these people, they're using, you know, commie tactics. They're using stuff to provoke something to happen. But they're actually out there, the only ones that are committing. Our side usually has cooler heads, and we're sitting back. We're letting them throw the first punch. We're the ones letting them be the aggressors. And still, the media will not cover the truth of that. And in my event on August 17th, we're going to have numerous camera crews. They're going to be following us around, watching every single thing we do, to show and to document that we are not going to be the aggressors. We will stand there toe-to-toe.
Well, and here's probably what's going to happen. It'll probably be like the last time in Portland, and the police will actually do their job because there's thousands of patriots that will do it for them if they don't. So my guess is the police will probably step in and do their job.
They can't. I've got some very interesting things that are
all right, well, we're going to go to break. Let's go to this break. Go give Barkley a treat. And we'll see if he can calm down. Joe Biggs with us. We're talking about the rally coming up in August as the war room is being invaded by dogs now. All right, folks, take advantage of the 1776 worldwide special at InfoWarsStore.com. Last day to get up to 75% off store-wide on supplements and apparel at InfoWarsStore.com.
Infowars.com/show.
All right, I'm trying to find this information as Joe Biggs is with me here on the War Room. The crew was pointing out to me during the break how there could be an increased Antifa presence in Portland for this rally coming up that Joe Biggs is helping organize and host and energize because of the Antifa member that firebombed the ICE facility and got shot by police. I can't find this on Twitter, what I'm looking for, but Joe, they're basically memorializing this terrorist now, and the Democrat Jihad Squad is refusing to condemn it. I mean, I sit here and I'm like, wow. So the Democrats are now saying that you can basically engage in domestic terror, but it's okay because you're fighting Nazis and the KKK and you know, concentration camps. And they're now memorializing these people. The media is with it as well. I mean, I'm just trying to figure, do they really think that this is going to go unchecked? I mean, are they going to plan more terror? I mean, I feel like they're just getting more emboldened, and it's total fringe, just fringe individuals at this point.
It is going to go unchecked because, like I said, most Republicans, most right-wing people are spineless cowards. I hate to say it, but some of y'all need to be called out. You won't get off your ass. You won't go do anything. But you think that woke tweets and memes and all that stuff's going to help win the freaking war. No, it's not going to. Look, they're already going to platforms like Facebook and YouTube and saying that you're a hateful person, that you can be physically attacked because of that. They're physically attacking people in the streets. We have people in Congress that are calling for acts of violence and saying that Antifa is a cool group. We have members of journalists, prominent legacy media, that are saying that Antifa is a good group. I don't know what else you need, but hey, wake up. Get off your butt and do something, because guess what? Trump can only win 4 more years. Then after that, there's a good chance it goes the other way. What are you going to do then when you don't have him there? Because as soon as the left regains that presidency, guarantee you, they're already using tech to take us out. Now they're going to actually start labeling our patriotic groups as domestic terrorist organizations. And you think they're going to pity-patty it around like the Trump administration is doing with Antifa right now? No, they'll get it done in a week. People need to understand this is serious.
I found the tweet here from Occupy ICE PDX. And it's stand with us. Here's the tweet if you guys want to find it or do a doc cam. Stand with us to honor our fallen comrade, William Van Spronson, this Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. at 4310 Southwest McAdam Avenue. And that's in Portland, Oregon. There's the memorial image right there. The crew has it. So they're literally memorializing this guy as a hero, as a martyr, a domestic terrorist. And that to me means that this is only going to get worse. The Democrats are refusing to condemn it. They're promoting it. The media is saying it's good. You're fighting Nazis. You're on the right side of history. This doesn't go well, Joe. Now, you're a veteran. You're a combat veteran. You know what it's like in the trenches. I just wonder if these guys really have a clue what they're asking for. I mean, do you think they even have a clue of what they're trying to tango with here?
I've got former Navy SEAL team members, leadership from these units. I've got SF guys, Green Berets. I've got literally large groups of police that are union guys or whatever that are out, and they have like these clubs and stuff. They're all coming. And we've got the Oath Keepers, like I said, that's a large group that when I was working at InfoWars, they would always come in and pull security, and they did one hell of a job every time. And that's just one of the smaller groups. You know, we have groups that it's just going to be insane. We have leadership meetings going on tonight with some amazing people. I mean, great thinkers. I mean, the security that's going into this, the brains we have together talking about how we're going to do this, the optics of it, what we're wanting to accomplish with this, both optically and on the ground. Man, it's going to be hard for some of these guys to make it look bad, but you're going to have infiltrators. And you're going to have people that are going to try to do stuff. But, I mean, we've got lawyers. We've got some really smart guys that have looked at the laws
let's Let's focus on these logistics that you're laying out here, Joe. What types of people are coming out? You know, what types of numbers are you expecting? Where is the ground that people can meet? Just get into some of the nuts and bolts of what people need to know about this rally that's coming up in August.
Well, until the meeting tonight that we have, we're not going to be releasing the actual meeting spot. Just know that it's going to be in Portland, and it's probably going to be a starting point of a very popular area where a lot of people have already been before. But we have some other things planned as well. We have a way of not needing the police to be involved, not using permits and things like that to avoid them shutting us down. Because, you know, right now I'm looking at 1,000 people or more that are coming to show up to this. I would feel bad for 1,000 people to show up to a permitted event. And based on the law there, if Antifa shows up to this permitted event, the police can tell everyone to disperse and arrest anyone who doesn't leave. Then the event doesn't happen. We don't get to make our point, and we don't get to stand up to these cowards.
So you've really done kind of the next level thinking on this to make sure that this can really go off.
Oh, this is going to happen. this is going to happen. There's also a lot of rumors going around that if you are seen wearing body armor to protect yourself against Antifa, you'll be arrested. That is a complete and total lie. This is not a permitted event. And you have the right to wear body armor and a Kevlar helmet if you so fit. If you feel like your life is in danger, you can wear that. So I will be protecting my head because we've seen these vicious attacks. They've called me out. Daryl Lamont Jenkins, one of the main guys of Antifa, has personally called me out. So I expect that there are going to be some, you know, radical people out there. And that's one of the things I think the left also wants, too. I think they're playing on the hot-headedness of this political climate in right now, that they're wanting either to provoke some lone psycho left-wing guy or woman or right-wing guy or woman to do this one crazy thing that they can then blame. And it'll always be blamed on us because they control the media, so it doesn't matter. But that's another thing we have to look at, too, is the optics of it. How can we best control the optics? And we're going to release some information next week that's really going to, you guys are going to go, wow, that's pretty damn smart. But to go into this knowing that they can control everything, it really makes you have to look at this as a game of chess. And we've kind of played out different scenarios and how we're going to do this. And we've literally had countless meetings with numerous guys all over the country. We've got people on the ground right now mapping out routes, looking at areas where we're vulnerable and weak and choke points and things like that. So we've really taken the time and the effort to look at this event because we're expecting them to act the way they always have, extremely violent. And we will go in there cool-headed, and we will not be the aggressors unless they do it first.
Now, are you organizing with a lot of veterans, military, police-type people to, you know, just kind of make sure that there's some, you know, level of personal security so that if things do go sour, that there's bodies that are ready to be there?
Yep, we've already got plans on how large groups are going to break into smaller groups and how we will have 360 security maintained on each group. We've already got comms set up, how we're going to be working communications. Certain people have already been given and tasked that. So we've looked at this from a very military standpoint, in a sense that where we're really taking security extremely important, and our communications, so we can always have that. And then the way out as well, our exfil, how we're going to get out of there, because that's usually a weak time where people are going to separate and start going on their own. We're not going to allow that to happen. We'll be moving as one giant unit, and it's going to make it a lot harder for them to try to attack and single people out, because that's what they do. They're looking for smaller groups that are just kind of like wandering around. That's why they go after journalists and stuff like that, because they're looking at their camera or they're focused trying to talk to somebody, and that person can't see behind them. At all times, people who are going to be talking to people will have someone behind them looking. They're going to have armor on, things like that. So, you know, we can train and train as much as we want. Can bad things happen? Of course they can, but we are taking the risk mitigation and everything as seriously as possible to get this to come out as safely as possible, and also give us the best optics and make these guys look like the punk ass bitches they are.
Well, and that's what this really comes down to, but it's just sad. I mean, you've seen the types of individuals these people are. You know, they're the, you know, basement dwelling, you know, video game heads, and, you know, they're about to see real people. They're about to look and go eye to eye with real American patriots. And that's why they really can't show their face either, because they know they're cowards and they don't want you to see it. Joe Biggs, thanks for joining us. If there's any updates with this, let me know. We'll get you back on air.
Roger that. Thanks, brother.
All right, there goes Joe Biggs. Folks, get to InfoWarsStore.com because it's the last day for the 1776 worldwide specials. Get up to 75% off store-wide at InfoWarsStore.com. Your support at InfoWars Store today keeps us on air tomorrow.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
The fight
for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer at InfoWars.com/show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. The truth about Ilhan Omar is coming out, and the president is now commenting on it. But check out this recent news report from Alpha News, The Secrets of Ilhan Omar.
Minnesota Democrats, media, and the Department of Justice have continually ignored strong evidence supporting the fact that Ilhan Omar may be directly involved in tax, marriage, and immigration fraud.
In 2002, Omar married Ahmed Hirsi in a religious ceremony. Hirsi is the father of Omar's three children and is pictured often with Omar and their children on their campaign website.
In 2016, Minnesota journalist Scott Johnson received a tip about a post from a Somali community website containing marriage certificates alleging Omar married her brother, Elmi, in February 2009, in order for him to immigrate to the U.S. legally, despite the facts she'd been married to the father of her children, Hirsi, over a decade.
This clearly proved that any such second marriage might be bigamous under Minnesota law, as well as fraudulent.
Later in August 2016, further investigations into legal documents and filings in Minnesota by journalist Priya Samsondar uncovered evidence supporting the allegation that Ilhan Omar married her brother, Ahmed Nursed Elmi, in 2009.
The 2009 marriage license to Elmi lists the same address as one filed for a Minnesota business 3 months later in May 2009 for a one-to-one cafe by Hirsi, the father of Omar's three children.
That means Ilhan Omar was living with both her real husband, Hirsi, while still married to her brother, Elmi.
Omar has continued to deny the allegations, dismissing them as baseless rumors and fake journalists on bigot blogs despite mounting evidence.
High school record evidence also support the claim that Elmi is indeed her brother and graduated in 2003 from Arlington Senior High School in St. Paul, Minnesota, with enrollment records that state he was born April 4th, 1985. The same birth date listed on Omar's 2009 marriage certificate to Elmi.
As troubling details mounted against Omar, members of the Somali community were threatened into silence through intimidation tactics and physical violence on themselves and their families still back in Somalia. In an obtained Facebook Live video from August 18, 2016, a woman identified as the associate chair of the Somali American Caucus speaks. And in translation, she states in plain terms that any Somali that talks about Omar's personal life, including marriage discrepancies, is an enemy of the Somali community. Credible sources in the Somali community have stepped forward and provided Alpha News with information in exchange for anonymity, along with members of the 2003 class have also identified Elmi's father as
Nursed Elmi Mohammed, the same man who calls himself father to Ilhan Omar.
So that's just part one of a docuseries that Alpha News is doing. It's not even a debate, folks. Ilhan Omar married her brother. The documents are out there. She committed immigration fraud and she committed tax fraud. She needs to be punished. I don't know what the law says needs to be done, but it needs to be done. She's a fraud. She's a phony. She's a liar. And she's a enemy of America. And she supports domestic terrorism. Now, the president gave some statements and has been working hard today. Very busy, but he just provided the press some statements, and he said this about Ilhan Omar.
Able to criticize your government.
Well, there's a lot of talk about the fact that she was married to a brother. I know nothing about it. I hear she was married to a brother. You're asking me a question about it. I don't know, but I'm sure that somebody would be looking at that.
Mr. President.
Oh, man. Oh. If the Republicans played like the Democrats, it wouldn't even be a competition. But they don't. But Trump knows it. Ilhan Omar married her brother. We are into the third hour of the Infowars.com War Room, brought to you by InfowarsStore.com, where it is the last day to to take advantage of 1776 worldwide specials at InfoWarsStore.com. Discounts up to 75% off store-wide. $17.76 for the t-shirts, the hats, some of the top-selling supplements like Ultra 12, Brain Force Plus, Knockout Sleep Aid, Survival Shield X2. It's the 1776 Worldwide Special at InfoWarsStore.com, and your support at InfoWarsStore.com makes everything we do here possible. Get all the great guests, have all the live broadcasts, do the extended coverage, get you all the news, expand in the face of the censorship. It's all thanks to your support at InfoWarsStore.com. If you don't have our toothpaste yet, our shampoo, our body wash, the water filters, the air filters, those are household items that everybody needs. So go over to InfoWarsStore.com and take advantage of all the deep discounts. Now, we had Paloma for Trump on in the first hour. She was assaulted outside an ICE facility because she's a Trump supporter. And now we have Pastor David Lynn, who's been on before. He got arrested for being Christian in outside of a gay pride march, and he's now been attacked again. Let's first air the footage and then bring Pastor David Lynn on. Here it is, David Lynn attacked at unplanned movie protest.
Nobody that is saying to stop abortion is saying that, someone should get away with rape or nobody's saying any of that.
I got that on camera.
But what we are saying is that we shouldn't take a life.
Hi,
God bless you. Were you just trying to hit me?
Do you have a uterus? Where's your baby carrier? Can you carry a baby? You can't carry a baby.
No, but I can give you,
you
a baby.
You can't carry a baby.
Wait a second. Hold on. Pause it. First of all, this woman is a transphobe because we all know now that men can carry babies. So Julian Castro made that clear. So, wow. Transphobic lady attacks a person of color. This is unbelievable. Go back.
But I'm the one that you
so
need to have
So stop talking about it. I don't need
you. You need a man.
There's millions of men. There's millions.
But you need a man to
There's
have a baby,
millions. We don't need
can
you. We do not need you. We do not need you.
Do you need a baby?
There's
a
millions
baby
of men out there. There are millions
can
of men.
Can you have a baby by yourself?
Where's your f***ing uterus?
Okay. Are you going to have a
Where's
logical...
Where's your uterus?
You don't want to talk, do you?
Do you have a period? Oh. Do you have a baby? You can. You can't.
Tell me why you have a period.
Where's your period?
Why
because I'm a woman and I have a right to have a bleeding every once a month. Are you dumb?
Okay, can I ask you something?
You're not even bleeding once
can
a month. Stop asking,
okay,
bro.
I won't ask you anything. Don't touch my stuff, please. Listen, I don't know what's. Why is it that when you want to have an intelligible conversation with somebody.
Oh,
can
she's
I have
back.
An intelligible Woman, conversation
you're
with
not
you?
Intelligible if
can
you don't support abortion.
Can I talk to you?
You're not.
I don't understand.
Okay. Wow. Just unbelievable footage there. Okay, so I'm not exactly sure what happened. It looks like she threw some object at you or something, or her phone, and then she's coming at you and yelling at you, totally deranged. You can't even have a conversation with these people. But there it is, folks. So Pastor David Lynn, thanks for joining us. So what's the story? You're outside of, I guess it's a movie theater, and you're just doing your street preaching when this woman comes up and throws, I don't know what it was, and her phone at you, and then is just totally deranged in your face.
A little background to what was going on. That was the first day in Canada that the unplanned movie was being shown, which is speaking about the dangers and ills of abortion. And, you know, we preach out there every day as usual. And this lady decided to come all the way over, not only throw something at me. Come against me for the fact that I am a male and that I guess to her, I don't have any say in the matter. But that wasn't it. In fact, what she ended up doing was she came back again, started squirting water at our preachers. I have no clue what was in that kind of water or what was in her water. So about three times she came back and assaulted us simply because, you know, we were preaching again and just sharing our faith, sharing our points of view.
Now, this may be rudimentary, but I look at this, and to me, I'm like sitting here watching like a first or second grader Like, you know how when you first like a guy or a girl for the first time and you kind of pick on them a little bit? Like, that's almost what this looks like to me.
Oh, man.
Like, she keeps coming back. I'm not saying that's the right analysis. I'm just saying, like, that's what it looks like. It looks like an immature, like, throwing things at you. I mean, this is, like, it's just basic immaturity. I'm not sure if it's that, you know, level, but it really just is so amazing. It's arrested development. It's a lack of maturity. And it's just total deranged behavior.
I agree with you. It's funny because you have a group of people that apparently are, supporting women's rights. And, you can support whatever you want to. But the moment that you share an opposing view, all of a sudden the animal comes out. The beast comes out. I mean, the uncivil behavior comes out. And you know, it's really sad. It's sad in my books.
So what was her big problem? I guess she you're just out there doing street preaching. What was it you said that made her so mad? Because you're a man, like you're saying. It's because you're a man and you have an opinion on abortion. Yeah. Is that what it is?
Yeah, well, I always go out there to share the gospel. But because it was the first day of the unplanned movie, I decided to share a bit about abortion from a biblical perspective. And I shared with the general public that everyone should go and watch the movie, judge for yourself, and, you know, gave some reasonable arguments as to why abortion is probably not the best way to go. There's a lot of alternatives. You could, give your child up to adoption if you really can't handle it. Or the best case scenario is to have either protected sex or wait until you're married and you're in a responsible position so that you can have children and care for your children instead of murdering a child. A child has a different, most of the time, a different blood type from the parent. It's a human being. It's a living child. And when we start saying that it's okay to abort a child simply because it's not fully developed, I mean, we're making a lot of bad platforms, because then we're also saying that, well, because if a child's 1 year old or 2 year old, they're not fully developed, so therefore we should be able to take their life if we feel, or if somebody came out blind. I gave two examples. Ray Charles, and don't quote me from him, I think one of them came out blind, I'm not sure, but Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder, they were both blind. Are we saying that when people don't fit our description of what perfect should be, then we should just kill them? And I was sharing some of those arguments on the street, and I guess it upset her. She heard it maybe passing by, and she decided to let the beast come out of her and assault me.
And that's she really what this is.
Too.
She assaulted your cameraman, you said?
No, I said she almost she threw her phone as well, which is, it was kind of silly.
Yeah, and then coming back with a squirt gun. I mean, again, this is like elementary school stuff.
I don't know where she got that squirt gun, to be honest.
Seriously, I guess she went to like a general store and ran back or something. She throws like a soccer ball at you. I mean, but what is the big deal? Like, that's the thing. Like, why is it that just speech makes these people so outraged? And that's really what this is. Like you said, it brings the beast out.
Yeah, you know what I think? I think guilt. I think something's going on inside their heart. They're being convicted. I because when I see crazy people saying things on the street, I just ignore them. I walk on by. But if something was really hitting my heart, I might stop. And that's what most people do when they see a poor man on the street and they, you know, something in their heart gets convicted and they stop. And I think these people are getting really riled up because they probably went through some abortion themselves. They made a decision that they regret.
And or they just want to be a victim. We'll be right back.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Pastor David Lynn is with us here on the War Room, and he was attacked outside of the unplanned screening at a movie theater where a woman came up and threw, I guess it was a soccer ball or something at him, and then her phone, I don't think she meant to throw her phone, but it launched out of her hand, came back with a squirt gun, got in his face, was really just crazed. And this is the type of stuff you deal with if you preach Jesus, if you're a conservative, if you don't like abortion. This is just what you have to deal with now as these people become more and more deranged. Of course, we had David on after he got arrested for street preaching about a month or so ago. So he's a fighter. He's been in this, and he goes out and does street preaching, and he gets attacked and yelled at and everything, but he doesn't give up. So, you know, on a positive note, though, to kind of pivot away from the attack on you, you know, this unplanned movie, it's nice to kind of see these, anti-abortion messages, or not even necessarily anti-abortion, just truth about life messages getting into Hollywood. I think a lot of people would be surprised. There was the Dr. Gosnell movie that got pulled pretty quickly from theaters, but hey, it was in theaters at least for a couple weeks. Very powerful film. So it's nice to kind of see that this counterculture is starting to hit the mainstream, and we're not just going to be told that, abortion is one thing and it's a human right when some people disagree.
Yeah, no, it's amazing to see that there is a force coming up, rising up, to stand against the tyranny, to stand against the injustice and the inequality against Christians. And there is a pushback, and this movie Unplanned is one of those pushbacks. And it's been widely viewed across North America, despite the attempts to have it barred from Canada. Canadian, media or cinema organizations were restricting it from being played for quite some time and finally gave in. And so it's good to see, but on the streets as well and in other fronts, Christians are seeing the injustice and the inequality and the marginalization against Christians. And they're starting to rally together, and they're starting to let people know through whatever means they have that we need to stand together against injustice and start standing for freedom, start standing for Christ. And, even those watching right now, this is a perfect opportunity to now examine and say, you know, what's happening to America? What's happening to our culture? It seems as though the very rights that we place there to ensure that we have freedoms is being stripped away from us. And so this is time to go back to our founding fathers' values and, you know, get back to the Word of God, get back to the Bible and start to pray, start to seek Him and, stick together and we can see a change. We can see a change.
And I just wish, it makes for video content and exposes who these people are, but I wish it wasn't such a hateful battle where, it's tough to say. She's first mad and then she's kind of smiling, but the rage is prevalent, not as much maybe in this video, but you've seen it before when you've done street preaching. Obviously, we see it every time we go out to reports, the political rage. I mean, what do you think is driving this rage, this hatred, this anger that comes out when they have to hear a message that they disagree with?
I think deep down inside, what it is from a biblical perspective, the sin nature. There's a desire and a love of sin and a love of pleasure over truth and or pleasure removed from truth. And I think that when people are in that kind of lifestyle and mindset, anytime you shine light on them, just like someone waking up out of their sleep, it's annoying. It becomes aggravating, and they've been in the dark for so long that when you see a Christian share the truth or somebody read a Bible verse, it upsets their way of life. And And I think that's what the problem is, just a love of sin. And that's why Jesus Christ came in the world, to show the light and to redeem sinners from their ways, but with grace. And some people take it and some people don't. And that's why I encourage people, listen, I know it might be hard to face your lifestyle and admit its folly for what it is, but there is a better alternative out there, and that's following Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I've come that you might have life and you might have it in abundance. And that's why I preach Jesus. And some people take it and you see a transformation and they say, you know, with their own words, you know, why was I living in this type of lifestyle? Why was I continuing in a path that never gave me peace? All of these people that are fighting back and showing retaliation against me, they're not happy. They're miserable. And like you can see with this lady, what exactly did I do that would require her to use violence against me? That just shows how upset she is with herself. And especially, I mean, she's throwing her cell phone. I mean, you know, she probably was drunk. I don't know what was wrong, but she's not happy. She's smiling, you can see, but she's not happy. She's miserable. And that's what you have when you live in sin. You have misery. And you can try to cover it up. You can sleep with who you want to sleep with, drink as many drinks, smoke how many smokes you want. But at the end of the day, if you don't have Jesus and you don't face your sin for what it really is, you're not going to have peace. The Bible says there is no peace to the wicked. And, you know, you'll never have peace when you're living in destructive tendencies.
Well, and I think that what it is, and you're kind of hitting it on the head here, and it's the same deal with the abortion problem, is it's this desire to have no accountability for your actions. You know, they want to be able to live reprehensible lifestyles and not be told, hey, that's immoral. They want to be able to, you know, have sex, get pregnant, and, you know, if they don't want the kid, just be able to kill it. They don't want to have accountability. They don't want to have responsibility for their actions. I think that that's really kind of at the root of this. And again, that's a very immature thing. It's an arrested development thing. And I think that, you know, a lot of that is to blame. And you can look at the media. You can look at a bunch of different things to say. But on a personal level for these individuals, I just think they don't want accountability for their actions. And the abortion issue is a perfect example of that. Pastor David Lynn, thank you so much for joining us here today. And stay safe out there. But if you do happen to get attacked again or something, we'll be sure to cover it and get you back on so that, you know, we're going to stand up for your right to free speech, and we're not going to let them bully you.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there goes Pastor David Lynn. Uh-oh, I said ladies and gentlemen. Colorado State says that you cannot use those words because they're not inclusive and offensive. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are about to go to a break. During this break, go to InfoWarsStore.com and take advantage of the 1776 Worldwide Special. Last day for the 1776 Worldwide Special.
Infowars.com/show.
Trigger warning.
This broadcast contains subject matter
that might trigger
liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
All right, I want to get to some of this other news and this Google hearing video here. But folks, it's the last day. It is the last day to take advantage of the 1776 worldwide sale happening at InfoWarsStore.com. Shirts and hats are on sale for 1776. A lot of the popular supplements are on sale for 1776. And of course, it's your support at InfoWarsStore.com that makes everything we do here possible. But we got household items, toothpaste, toothbrushes, shampoo, body wash, air filters, water filters, household items that you need are at InfoWarsStore.com, and the 1776 worldwide sale is happening right now, but it is done after today. Today is the last day, so take advantage of these specials at InfoWarsStore.com. And also, we've We're looking for new ways to fund and get content out, so we're taking advantage of a new platform called Subscribestar. Alex Jones has started a Subscribestar where you can find exclusive content. I have my own Subscribestar where you can find exclusive content there as well. For me, the exclusive content you're going to find is mostly political humor. I do some characters and some political humor on there, as well as some other stuff like raffles and such for InfoWars shirts and autographs and stuff. So that's another way you can support us by subscribing to our Subscribe Stars. All right, let's go to this video from the Google hearing yesterday where Robert Epstein, in so many words, admits how Google attempts to rig and manipulate American elections.
I am indeed Dr. Robert Epstein. The most important thing for you to know about me is that I'm the father of five wonderful children. As it happens, I'm also a research psychologist at the American Institute for Behavioral Research and Technology. I have been center left my whole adult life, but I value my country and democracy more than I value any party or candidate. That is why I'm speaking out today. I'm here to explain why Google poses a serious threat to democracy, how monitoring systems can protect us from companies like Google, and how Congress can immediately end Google's worldwide monopoly on search. My plan for ending that monopoly was published just yesterday in Business Week. I've been a research psychologist for nearly 40 years. My PhD is from Harvard, and since 1981, I've published extensively on AI and other topics. Some of my research has focused on Google, on the company's massive surveillance operations, censorship capabilities, and unprecedented ability to manipulate the thinking of 2.5 billion people, soon to be 4-plus billion. I've written articles about Google for Time Magazine, USA Today, that kind of thing, but also for the Daily Caller and even Russia's Sputnik News. I reach out to diverse audiences because I believe the threats posed by Google, and to a lesser extent Facebook, are so serious that everyone needs to know about them. Here are just three disturbing findings from my research, which adheres to the very highest standards of scientific integrity. Number one, in 2016, Google's search algorithm likely impacted undecided voters in a way that shifted at least 2.6 million votes to Hillary Clinton, whom I supported. I know this because I preserved more than 13,000 election-related searches prior to Election Day, and Google's search results were significantly biased in favor of Secretary Clinton. I know the number of votes that shifted because I've conducted dozens of controlled experiments that measure how opinions shift when search results are biased. I call this shift SEAM, the search engine manipulation effect, which I first published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences in 2015. Biased search results can easily produce shifts in the opinions and voting preferences of undecided voters by up to 80% in some demographic groups because people blindly trust high-ranking search results over lower ones. SEAM is an especially dangerous form of influence because it is, in effect, subliminal. It also leaves no paper trail for authorities to trace. It's an example of a short-lived or, quote, ephemeral experience. That's a phrase you'll find in internal emails that have leaked recently from Google. I'm now studying seven such manipulations, like SEAM, and unlike billboards or those Russian-placed ads, these manipulations are invisible and non-competitive. They're controlled entirely by big tech companies, and there is no way to counteract them. Number two, on Election Day in 2018, the Go Vote reminder that Google displayed on its homepage gave one political party at least 800,000 more votes than it gave the other party. That reminder was not a public service, it was a vote manipulation. Number three, In the weeks leading up to the 2018 election, bias in Google search results may have shifted upwards of 78.2 million votes spread across many races to the candidates of one political party. This number is based on bias in data captured by my 2018 monitoring system, which preserved more than 47,000 election-related searches conducted by a diverse group of American voters. I know how to stop big tech in its tracks, and that brings me briefly here to monitoring systems and the proposal I published yesterday. A 2015 phone call from the Attorney General of Mississippi prompted me to start a years-long project in which I have learned how to capture online ephemeral experiences. In early 2016, I deployed a system that allowed my team to look over people's shoulders as they conducted online searches with their permission. I deployed a more sophisticated system in 2018, and I'm raising funds now to build a much more comprehensive system in 2020, one that will allow us to catch big tech in the act, to instantly spot when Facebook is biasing news feeds or when Twitter is suppressing tweets sent by Ann Coulter or Elizabeth Warren. This system must be built to keep an eye on big tech in 2020, because if these companies all support the same candidate, they will have the power to shift 15 million votes to that candidate. To let big tech get away with subliminal manipulation on this scale would be to make the free and fair election meaningless. Finally, regarding yesterday's article, Congress can quickly end Google's worldwide monopoly on search by declaring Google's massive search index, the database the company uses to generate search results, to be a public commons, accessible by all, just as a 1956 consent decree forced AT&T to share all its patents. There is precedent in both law and Google's business practices to justify taking this step, which will make online search competitive again and dramatically diminish Google's power worldwide. In 1961, Eisenhower warned about the possible rise of a technological elite that would control public policy without people's awareness. That elite now exists, and you must determine where we go from here.
So powerful stuff there from Robert Epstein in regards to how Google is being used to manipulate United States elections. And again, that's the left. So everything that they claim Trump or Trump supporters are doing, rigging elections, that was the Democrats. Colluding with Russia, that was the Democrats. A bunch of womanizers and abusers, again, that's mostly the Democrats. So we'll see. We had the tech summit, the social media summit last week. Nice pat on the head, nice bone to chew on, yet here we are still. No action. But there's something huge happening right now, and it's regarding Jeffrey Epstein. And I'm going to give you the latest on the other side of this short break.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
This Ilhan Omar story is going to have an interesting conclusion. It's going to come out undoubtedly that she married her brother, if it hasn't already. But will there be any action taken against her illegal behavior? All right, I'm going to do a news blitz here and then give you the big bombshell Epstein news. But first, let me get the rest of the stuff out of the way. By the way, the clip that we played was the clip of Dr. Epstein at the hearing yesterday. Ted Cruz spoke as well, and there's a lot more to that. That story is at Infowars.com. I don't have time to get to all of it right now, but there it is. Top scientist reveals how Google and Facebook are going to steal the 2020 election, and it has not just the full monologue from Epstein, but also Cruz in there. with powerful stuff as well. That's must see. That's must share over at InfoWars.com. All right, Trump has a rally in North Carolina tonight. They have been lined up since before sunrise today. I'm being told that it's almost 100 degrees where these people have been standing outside all day to see the president. But yet, don't let reality get in the way of a fake poll. They'll still try to say that Trump is unpopular and getting less popular and is losing in polls to Sanders or Biden when they couldn't fill a high school gymnasium. Trump fills professional sporting event arenas. These guys barely even fill up a high school gymnasium. And then the fake news says, oh, Trump is losing in the polls. A bunch of con artists. So there's just some of the images the crew going through of the rally today. But this is from The Hill. I'm just so sick of this crap. Republican support for Trump rises after racist attacks targeting minority progressive congresswoman. I'm just really getting sick of people that don't live in reality. Because Trump is, I get what Trump does on Twitter sometimes because I do it all the time. You have to be very nuanced and very, suggestive. Trump never even said a name in those tweets, but yet the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the jihad squad, assumed it was them. So you notice how that works. Trump didn't say anything racist, but they read into it racism because that's what they want. Doesn't matter that it's not there. It doesn't matter that there's no reality to their conclusions. It's what they want, and so they go with it. And it's destroying this country. But luckily, the good news is Ilhan Omar is about to be exposed as a criminal. AOC's poll numbers are low, and I don't think people are too fond of Tlaib or Presley either. So I think their political careers will be very short, but unfortunately not short enough. Yes, and they now have documents, new documents on Ilhan Omar's marriage, new docuseries. And it's over. Ilhan Omar's caught. She engaged in marriage fraud, immigration fraud, and tax fraud. She's done. She's caught. We know it. She's a criminal. But will there be anybody with enough courage to do the right thing and get her out of Congress? The good news is AOC has met her match, Sherry Murray. Sherry Murray has announced she'll be running against AOC. She puts this out as an announcement on Twitter. There's a crisis in Queens, and it's called AOC. She isn't worried about us. She's worried about being famous. That's why I'm running for Congress. Join our movement to unite the fight. Sherry Murray is a Jamaican immigrant who's, I believe, married with a couple kids, too. So she'll be running against AOC. And the Democrats are smart. They'll run somebody against AOC so that they can keep that seat. Or I think Sherry Murray could be replacing her. From the Gateway Pundit yesterday, lawsuit outs reporter Ellen Ratner as source for Seth Rich information. So basically the bottom line here is they tried to do this whole thing that the Seth Rich, story, whatever conspiracy theory originated on 4chan or with Trump supporters. No, it originated with Ellen Ratner talking to WikiLeaks sources that brought up Seth Rich. Seth Rich was, I mean, let's be honest. Seth Rich gave them the DNC emails. Seth Rich was murdered. Oh, I'm not allowed to say that. And Eric Holder said I should apologize for saying that. So I'm sorry, Eric Holder, not. Story from AP News, which is really kind of eye-opening. African man escaped a massacre, but death followed. So it's a story about, this massacre that happened in his village. But the real amazing thing about this, and Rob Dew interviewed somebody that's been through this, is how they get to America. They literally go through like 8 different countries to get to America. And it's just like, why does America have to take every person from a third world country that escapes? There's all these other countries they go to. Why do they always come to America? Why do we have to take all of them? Why is it always for free? And then the left lies about it, acting like it's inhumane. We do so much for these people. It's It's just unbelievable that they would even complain, but everything is racist. Everything is racist when you're a liberal Democrat. Elon Musk wants to hook your brain up directly to computers. Elon Musk's Neuralink shows off advances in brain-computer interface. He says it's coming as soon as next year. Now, I don't want to be like a committed Luddite that just sees any tech advancements and, you know, shudders in fear, but I don't know. Brain-computer interfacing, I don't know. There could be some great stuff with it, but that's kind of a scary one to me. California doesn't have enough doctors to recruit them. The state is paying off medical school debt. Pretty amazing story over on the at Napa Valley Register, where hundreds of thousands of dollars of student debt is being taken care of in California. I have mixed emotions about this. We do need more doctors. I do like motivating people to become doctors. But California is short on doctors because they have an illegal immigration problem, and the country has an illegal immigration problem, and you have to send all these doctors to these facilities. And so, yeah, there's a shortage of doctors, but I don't know. The paying off the student debt, it's such an odd thing to try to sort out, because how do you decide who gets their debt paid and who doesn't? What's fair, what's not? I don't know, but that's what's happening in California. All right, here's the big one. Here's the bombshell. This is massive. Cernovich.com, over 2,000 files in Jeffrey Epstein case to be released within a few days. You have to credit Cerno Media and the Miami Herald for this. Filing the lawsuits, filing the paperwork, requesting these documents unsealed. They finally got it despite multiple unanimous people trying to keep them sealed and multiple judges keeping them sealed. But now they're going to come out. Vanity Fair has a bombshell story. Headline, it's going to be staggering the amount of names. As the Jeffrey Epstein case grows more grotesque, Manhattan and D.C. brace for impact. Now again, InfoWars is next year's news today. We told you about Jeffrey Epstein and Pedophile Island and Bill Clinton and big people, big influential people going to Pedophile Island, flying on the Alita Express, Epstein using it for blackmail, and all of this stuff. Now, in this story, it gets into some kind of more personal stories. Like, for example, Elon Musk meeting Epstein. They try to tie Elon Musk into this whole thing, too. And he basically denies it. He says he didn't meet him one time, but he basically denounces Mark Zuckerberg. He says, no, I'm not friends with Mark Zuckerberg, and I don't know Epstein well at all. I was at a business event he held in Manhattan. But Epstein is in jail right now. The odds are he's not going to get bail. And he'll probably be in jail. He should be in jail for the rest of his life. Quite frankly, he probably should be hung. I mean, we're talking about a sex trafficker here. Child sex trafficker. I mean, didn't we used to hang those types of people? But this is the implication, folks. I mean, you're going to see top names. And here's the thing. Bill Clinton is the biggest one because Bill Clinton was the president for 8 years. And obviously Hillary Clinton, his wife, a big political leader of the Democrat Party. But Bill Clinton loved Pedophile Island. Bill Clinton loved going on the Lolita Express. He did it so often, Secret Service had a complaint, and then he ditched Secret Service to go on the Pedophile Island Lolita Express. And then he lied about the whole thing. How many names, how many people are going to go down with this Epstein deal? But if Epstein gets out, you better believe he's gone. He's a flight risk. And the judge better realize that and not let him out, as the victims and their lawyers are requesting. So this is about to be huge, folks. 2,000 pages of documents. We're about to see some names. This has major implications for U.S. politics and culture. That does it for the War Room. You stay classy, Info Warriors.